I'm glad the Lord's here, and I'm glad you're here. So we all ought to be glad. I'm glad this morning that he's got everything under control this afternoon. I have a burden on my heart, and I like to leave it here. I got a burden, I always like to unload it. So you pray for me. And I need prayer. Anytime you stand behind the sacred desk, you need prayer. Because sometimes the enemy gets right there in back of the pulpit too, you know. And so if you pray for me this morning, I want to say one thing. The Lord has control of the church. Thank the Lord. I'm glad I'm part of the church. Now, the title we have this morning is The Indestructible, this afternoon, The Indestructible Church. And we want to get our text this morning over in an old familiar text in Matthew, the 16th chapter. And Jesus spoke here. I like to read what Jesus has to say. Matthew, the 16th chapter, and beginning at the 13th verse, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And he said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, another Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." He got some enlightenment here. He got some light and understanding. "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock," or this solid foundation, the solid confession that I am the Christ, "I will build my church." And he said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against her." Now, folks, we can stand on that. That's solid. Who do you say that I am? Well, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. That was a solid answer. He's still Christ. And folks, the church is on his shoulder. He's running this church here. And I'm glad to be a part of it. And he said, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The glorious part of the church of God is her light. Her light. Divine light. I want to talk about that this afternoon. I need your prayers. Job 32 and 8. "There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding." There's a spirit in man. And the inspiration, the light, the understanding, the wisdom, everything that man needs, it comes from God. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration, the conviction, the light, the understanding, all comes from God, because man has a spirit. And God deals with that spirit. We need to... I feel like there's a lot of folks don't really understand what the church is, what it's like. We can only find out through the scriptures. I can't describe it in my own language. But the scripture brings out a part of what the church of God is, and the Spirit of God can reveal the rest of it to us through his Spirit. Over in Matthew, the 13th chapter, I was thinking about light and understanding and how much we need light. Over in Genesis, the first chapter, we want to begin. I want to talk a little bit this afternoon about God's candlestick. The candlestick has a very important place in God's plan. A candlestick is a supporter of the candle, or the one that brings the light. A candlestick. Now over in Genesis, the first chapter, and beginning at the first verse, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form or void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said. God didn't say it first, but the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters, and then God spoke. The Spirit of God will always precede the Word. When the Word of God goes forth, and I want to bring out this one point here, you'll never be convicted of anything until you have been enlightened, till you have received knowledge and understanding. That's where conviction comes in, is through the knowledge and the understanding of what God is trying to deal with us. Now he said, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The earth was without void, it was empty. But the Spirit preceded the Word. When the Spirit moves, the Word of God becomes effective. The Word of God begins to convince thus that this is true. This is the Word. This is light, understanding. We are responsible now. We saw light and understanding. We need that in our directions through the Spirit of God directing us and leading us along life's journey. There's a scripture in Saint 1 John, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. He's the one that illuminates our hearts and our minds. He's the one that reveals unto you and I what our shortcomings are. Where are we in our Christian experience? So the Spirit of God begins to reveal to us through his Word and convince us this is what my need is. I need this. And the Spirit of God begins to convict us of this. May God help us to be very diligent in the light that God has revealed in you and I. We are responsible people when God brings the light and understanding. Matthew 5 and 14, an old familiar text. We all probably have learned it down over the years, but it still sticks with us today. And we like to read it, even though you might memorize it and you might know it by heart. I like to get it, and I like to read it just like it is. But he said in Matthew 5 and 14, he said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they can see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Now he said here, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. The candlestick is a supporter of the light. And it was designed that way. And that light, even in the tabernacle or in the sanctuary, had to be lit continually. It could never go out. It had to be lit. God is wanting the church of God today to let our light so shine before men that you can Convince them by your good works that comes from God, through the inspiration, through the knowledge and understanding that God has given you, that man will be able to understand where you stand before God. Now this is important. We are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We have a responsibility this morning or this afternoon to walk in the light as we have the light. I imagine there's a lot of folks here today who have been in camp meetings down over the years and no doubt has been enlightened. God has lit in your candle. And you know the truth. You know what you ought to do and what you ought not to do. This inspiration comes from God through His Spirit. Every time the Word of God goes forth, it'll either bind us or else it'll loose us. It'll either loose us from the defective things that's in our lives that's hindering us from serving God, or else it will bind us for the eternal world, the hell. Bind us under bondage. So we need the light. We need the understanding of what God requires out of you and I. In Exodus, the 25th chapter, are you praying for me? Now you pray for me. If you think it's easy to get behind the pulpit, you try to get up here. You've got to have God and the Spirit of God with you when you're up here. And we need your prayers. Over in Exodus, someone might do some reading for me, if you will. Over in Exodus, the 25th chapter, and beginning at the 31st verse. Exodus 25 and 31. If you might get that for me, read please. Yes. 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 I believe that might be sufficient here. But the 31st verse is that, and thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. The whole thing was to be of pure gold. There was not to be any alloy in it, not to be any other type of metal. It had to be pure gold. The whole candlestick had to be pure gold. Gold is an offset, it's an all coverage asset in the time of depression and in the times of financial disaster. Gold comes in handy, and it's an asset to those who need support. Gold represents God. God is pure all the way through. Purity. God is pure, holy, righteous. There's no other person beside Him. There's no other God beside me. Gold. Now this candlestick was to be made of pure gold, of beaten work, so the candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bows, his knops and his flowers shall be of the same. All pure gold. Gold. God is not calling for brass. He's calling for pure gold. Where you and I can be able to go right through the fire, and when we come out, we're still gold. All the dross and any alloy that might be in there, it's done gone. And it's just pure gold. Now God is wanting you and I, that represents the church of God, to be able to go through the fire and be able to be willing to suffer Whatever God wants you and I to suffer, He wants you and I to stay right in there until all the dross is removed. In the heated furnace, Father, let me stay. Precious gold refining, purge the dross away. You better be very careful when you lift your hands and say, in the furnace, Father, let me stay. I tell you, a lot of people raise their hands and they don't know exactly what they're saying. But let me tell you, when I raise my hand to that, I mean everything I say. In the heated furnace, Father, let me stay. Precious gold refining, just purge the dross away. Just take it away. Over here in Revelations, the first chapter, in the 20th verse, someone might get that for me if you will. But God is expecting something out of you and I, that we might be able to be an example of what God's church really is. And He, the church, the candlestick is the church. He mentions over in Revelations there, and we'll get to that. Over in Revelations, you have that.
Revelation
1 and 20.
The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand.
Yes.
And the seven golden candlesticks.
The seven golden candlesticks.
The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches.
Yes.
And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches.
All right, the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches, or the complete church. Seven means the complete. So the church of God is a candlestick. And God wants you and I, as we represent the church of God, to be able to have our light, the candle lit, our spirits lit. Our spirit is like a candle. And God will lighten my spirit, or He'll lighten my candle. And when God lights that candle, He don't want your trials and all your adversities or anything that might come your way to blow that candle out. Keep it lit all the way through. Through your adversity, through your trials, misrepresentation and all of this, let your light so shine. Smile. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, maybe we don't, but smile anyhow. Be thankful that God's still there. He's light. He's understanding. He's power. He's wisdom. All that we need, God has it. He's an asset to all of your problems. All, if you're in a disaster situation, God has a solution to all your problems. He has that. I mentioned gold represents God. And it'll help you right in times of depression.
All
right. You ever been depressed? One time I was depressed for about 2 solid weeks. I was under depression and I seemed like my feelings was down. And seemed like I'd cry and I'd pray. And seemed like that was just stay there. Well, finally I kept praying, seeking the Lord. And after 2 solid weeks, I stayed right there. I let my light shine. I never did allow that to blow my candle out. Folks, sometimes we allow things to blow our candle out, and what happens after the candle blows out? You don't have God anymore. The light that God has given you, and we allow that to be lost in our lives personally, God's going to do all He can to you cease to be part of the church of God. Now, is that getting too serious? I got scriptures to back me up on this. All the light and understanding that God has revealed unto you, and you're allowing a trial or adversity or affliction or something to allow that light to go out, He'll remove that candlestick and you cease to be part of the church of God until you repent. Lying is a serious thing. What has been revealed unto you and I. And it keeps burning through the Spirit of God operating freely in your lives. Keep the Spirit of God in your life. Keep Him operating in your very being, in your mind. Give the Spirit liberty to have free access in your life. Bow to the Spirit of God. If He says move, move. If He says stop, stop. Light is a, like I mentioned, that's the glorious part of the church of God is our light. Our divine light. That's shining out to a lost and a dying world. Revelations 2, 1 and 7. And to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works, and thy labors, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Sound like there's pretty good folks. Nevertheless, in spite of it all, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. They was dealing with a problem here, and they developed the wrong attitude. Folks, let's watch our attitude. When you're dealing with any problem, regardless what it is, watch your attitude. You'll lose your love. You'll lose your concern for God's plan in your life. Now these folks, everything looked like it was commendable. But one thing they lacked, they lost the love of God. Jesus spoke about, because iniquity abound, the love of many has waxed cold. I like to read it this way, because love, how should I say that? Because the love of many has waxed cold, iniquity abounds. Is it all right to say it that way? Because the love of God is gone, see, iniquity abounds. You take the love of God out of your heart, and you don't have nothing. Whatever you do, do it because you love God. You love His Word. You love His people. You love the sinner. Everything that God requires out of you, love, the love of God has to be in back of all of it. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Do the first works, or else I will come unto thee, and I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath this ear, has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which in the midst of the paradise of God. Now here they develop a wrong attitude here, because they was dealing with a problem here. And they lost their first love. Now he said, you need to repent now. Do your first works all over again. Or I'm going to remove your candlestick. There's a lot of places today that's called the Church of God. They have the name. They have a building. But God has removed His candlestick there. Now I want to say, God can only identify His own handiwork. That's all He can identify in His own life. But when darkness prevails, His identity is obscured. I'll remove the candlestick. I'll remove myself completely out. When God removes himself out of an individual, out of a congregation, out of any environment, when the love of God is totally absent from all or any source of man's environment, it becomes extremely dark. No light at all. I want to say at this place, at this particular point, folks, hell, we look at the hell, at hell as an awful bad place to stay away from because the devil's there. Well, the devil's all around us. What's going to make hell awful bad is because God's not there. There's no light there. Total, complete darkness. When God has been taken out of anybody's life, your life becomes total darkness. And how great is that darkness? The candlestick's gone. May God help you and I as a church of God in our congregation, in our home life, in our personal life, to live to where we will not allow anything to diminish the love of God or to allow the light of his love diminish all of our life. It's important that we do all we can. Suffer for the Lord, endure, and whatever the need is in our own personal lives, the Spirit of God will reveal that to us through his word and through the inspiration of the Spirit of God. There was a man that had an inheritance. He had three sons. And he said, now, I'm going to leave this world here now. And he said, I'm going to leave all of my inheritance and I'm going to give you each now a coin. Some coins. And I want you, each of you, to buy something from that coin that will fill up the whole room, this whole room here. And if you can buy something that can fill up the whole room, you have won my inheritance. So the one fella, he went out there and he bought him a bale of hay. So he went in that room and he just opened the hay up, just scattered it around. But there were some corners that the hay didn't get to. The other fella, he went ahead and got him a bale of feathers. He thought, well, that'll just fill up this room. So he just kind of got the feathers and scattered them out. Well, there's still some places where the feathers didn't reach. And this one fella, he went down the street and he saw a little old orphan boy that was hungry. So he bought him some nutrition there and he had just a little bit left over. Well, I don't know what to buy with the rest of it, but he said, I'll buy me some matches and I'll get me a candle. So he went on back to the house. He went in his room and he lit the candle. And it illuminated the whole room. It filled the whole room with light. And he won the inheritance. Folks, there's a lesson in that for you and I. Keep your light shining. Oh, there's rooms in our lives that we need light. We need understanding. Oh, let me tell you something. Whatever you do, do it with compassion, with love, concern. For a lost and a dying world. This man had compassion on an orphan. He shared. He denied himself. And had a little left over. He bought him just a few matches and a candle. It lit the whole room. May God help you and I tonight, today. To be filled with the love of God. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by who? the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We need the love of God in our hearts in order to keep our lights burning, shining. How much light have you received since you've been saved? The understanding, the conviction of something in your own personal life that you know ought not to be there. And yet you put it off. And you go about your other business. And the Spirit of God comes along and He pricks your heart because you receive knowledge. Now the Spirit of God is faithful. Once we have received light and understanding, He's faithful to come to you again. He doesn't have to. But He's faithful to come to you again and prick your soul and your heart and remind you of the things that you have been taught. Look at our world today with a lack of knowledge and understanding. Little children that has been conditioned from childhood. And here they are, the way they dress and the way they act. They've been conditioned that way. No training, no knowledge, no understanding whatsoever. And they grow up. No knowledge, no understanding. And it's hard for the Spirit of God to actually convince them that this is wrong. That's what happens sometimes right among us. People are conditioned in their childhood days. And they grow up in that same condition. In fact, they're so addicted to it. And when the Spirit of God begins to deal with them, the Spirit has nothing to work with. You parents that has children, teach them, instruct them, give them light, give them understanding. Give them something where the Spirit of God can deal with them as they get older, where they can be convicted. This is wrong and this is right. We heard a good message last night on knowing the difference between right and wrong. It takes knowledge and understanding. The Spirit of God is grieved today because of the lack of knowledge that's in our world today. You and I, as a church of God, we have more knowledge than the world has ever known or has ever learned in college. We are knowledgeable people. We have learned the ways of wisdom. We have learned how to behave ourselves. We learn how to conduct ourselves, how to turn the other cheek. We have learned how to walk the second mile. We've learned that. We learned a lot of things through the Word of God. All the light and understanding. It involves modesty. It involves turning loose of foolishness, jesting and joking. All these things we have learned. What are we doing with the things that we have learned? The light, knowledge, and understanding. Are we allowing the winds of adversity to blow it out? To discourage us? Folks, beware of discouragement. It'll blow out your candle. It'll blow out your candle. Revelation is the 18th chapter. You still praying for me? 18 and 21. The mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and he cast it into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of the harpers and musicians and the pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee." Babylon was a golden cup in the hands of the Lord at one time. I remember when I was a boy, I seemed like we was in some of the sectarian churches, and it was surprising how the Lord worked and how souls were saved. And it seemed like that God was working even in Babylon. But the kind time came when they had to face truth. Folks, once you face truth, You become a responsible individual. Once they faced the light and the understanding of the Word of God, they rebelled against it. They backed up. Folks, they become bound. And what happened after a period of time? God removed the candlestick. There is no more voice of harpers, no musicians, no songs came out from the heart. He said he put a new song in my heart, even praises unto God. Well, that left, see. And the pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more in all in thee. No craftsman, or whatsoever craft he be, shall be found no more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. The grinding of the truth has left. It left it vacant, empty. When God comes out of any system, it becomes an empty system. A church becomes not only, it becomes a form. They have a form of godliness. And he said here, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries or deception were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and all that were slain upon the earth. Jesus said they would deceive the very elect if possible. The false prophets. Folks, we need to be spiritual enough and have enough of the Spirit of God in our lives and enough light to where we can see and have discernment of spirits. Now, there's all kinds of spirits, and it's all around us. Light enables you and I to see, to comprehend, to able to know the things that we can stumble over. We need light. We need understanding what truth is, what error is, which is bad and which is good, which is evil and which is holy and righteous. God is demanding out of you and I to represent Him. The only way people can see God is through you. Through our own personal lives. Alright. Let's go over here now to 1 Samuel. The candlestick. The indestructible Church of God. She's still standing. She's still firm. People may fail and their candles might go out, but the church of God is still standing. It's still there. I can see part of the church right here. I can see the church right here. Still standing. Over in 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, in the 1st verse, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God in the temple, it went out in the temple where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. You know, when light has gone out, we fail to see things in their true perspective. When light has gone out, his eyesight became dim. He wasn't able to see how to light his candle, how to keep the light lit. And that light was to be lit continually. And his eyesight become dim. Folks, don't allow your eyes. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful works out of thy law. Keep your eyes open, spiritual eyes, where you can see the handiwork of God, how He's working in your own personal lives, how He's dealing with you on certain problems. There is something in every one of our personal lives that if we don't guard against that thing, it'll break us down and we'll stumble over it. You and every one of us got a weakness. You might say, I'm strong. I'm strong in the Lord. But there's something about every one of us has got something, a besetting, something that's besetting in our own humanity that we can stumble over. And we have to work on that thing continually. And when we fail to work on that and keep our lamps lit, not just trimmed up, but lit. The foolish, they went out and trimmed their lamps, but no light. A lot of folks trying to trim their lamps, but there's no light. You heard the story about the man that was supposed to guard the railroad track. And so he took his lantern with him. And here come a train. Well, a car went across there and hit the car. And, of course, it killed the passenger. So they took the man with the lantern. They took him before the judge to try him out and say, well, what happened here? I thought you were supposed to guard that railroad track here. Did you have your lantern with you? Well, he said, yeah, I had my lantern, and I waved it. Well, they cross-examined him, and finally they told him, they said, well, did you have light in your lantern? He said, hung his head. He said, no. All the wavings of the lantern, folks, ain't going to work. There are souls at stake in this world. They're looking for light. They're looking for a way out of sin. They're looking for a way out of their deplorable condition. Let's quit waving our lanterns and let our lanterns be lit. Let the Spirit of God operate in our hearts. Learn how to deny ourselves. Take up our cross and follow Him. Whatever trial or temptation God permits to come our way, folks, keep your light shining and that lantern and keep it lit. Some soul is going to cross the cross where they have to make a decision. They all come to that place. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Can we show them the light? Can we show them the way out? Or is our light gone out? All the understanding and all the light that we have received from God is gone. We can have an empty profession and claim to be a child of God. Claim to be saved and sanctified. Got the power of God in my life. And yet walking against light, against understanding. Something in their own personal lives is eating up their spiritual vitality. Knowing. And they fail to do anything about it. Still waving their lanterns without light. Folks, when we stand before the judgment bar of God, we're going to stand as an individual, not as collectively as a congregation or a movement. In Matthew 13 and 24, he mentions about when man slept. Let's get over there. Let's get that scripture over there. You know, there's a lot of folks sleeping spiritually, like Eli. Got drowsy. Bored. Folks, let me tell you something. You watch that spirit of boredom. Our young people today, they get bored over so many things. I'm so bored. I heard that the other day from a young man. Young fella. I'm just bored. Well, you ought to get to work. You ought to do something. Standing around with your hands in your pocket, I'm bored. Well, get to work. Do something.
Keep occupied. Jesus said, occupy till I come. Keep busy. Keep busy. Keep working for me. How to take care of all your boredom. Matthew, the 13th chapter. And let's begin at the 24th verse. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seeds in his field. But while man slept, he was unaware, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and he went his way. Now here, the enemy came in because man was asleep. They slept. Inactive. Not concerned about the work of the Lord. Getting drowsy. They made me the keys of the kingdom, they made me the keepers of the vineyard. But he said, my own vineyard I haven't kept. Folks, we need to take care of our own vineyard. We're so busy looking over here and watching someone else and how they're living. And we think that's terrible. Well, they're not measured up like they ought to be. When we need to point ourselves to our own selves, if we keep our light lit, our candles lit, I believe we can see ourselves a lot better. It's when the light goes out that we can't see ourselves. Only thing we can see is the faults of others. Men slept. But while they slept, the enemy came in. Folks, he'll take an advantage, and he'll take any place you'll give him. He said, give no place to the enemy. Well, let's read the rest of this. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seeds in thy field? And whence then has it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, what thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. They gather the wheat into my barn. Folks, this is the harvest time. And he's gathering in the wheat. And this is a time that he's binding the tares. I don't put you out. And I don't put you in. But when the word of God goes forth, it'll either bind you, and you become captivated, fit for the burning, or he'll loose you, and he'll gather the wheat into his barns, he'll gather you into himself. But it's the word of God accompanied by the Spirit of God will either bind you or loose you. You are, after you have heard the word of God, you're not the same. You're not the same. You either made worse or you made better. As the word of God does not shoot blanks, but it's pointing out different things in our own personal lives. You know what they are. You know the very things that can beset you. You know the things that can actually trip you up and cause you to fall. I know. And I'm on guard. Jesus said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Watch what? Watch other people? No, watch yourself. Watch every inclination. Watch your feelings. Watch your attitude. Watch your frame of mind. Watch you think. Watch your mind. Folks, that's the battleground, is your mind. And let's watch that and guard that. You can allow things to enter into your mind that can blow your candle out. The devil can put all kinds of thought in your mind. And he can crush you down. The mind is an open... It's open to the enemy and it's open to God. It's like a building has got both doors open. And the enemy has access to your mind as well as the Spirit of God. And it's up to you and I to have a spiritual selectiveness in knowing what to cast out and what to retain in our minds. But the devil will do all he can to blow out your candle. Blow out your light. You want to see yourself? I heard one brother prayed one time and he said, "Lord, I want to see myself as you see me." He said God spoke to him and said, "If I showed you everything that you want to see, you couldn't stand it. You couldn't stand it." God in his infinite mercy will show you one little degree at a time where you stand. The Spirit of God will deal with you one step at a time. When the devil comes, he crowds you. "Look, you got to do this, you got to do that." And he'll crowd you and crowd your mind. And let me tell you, we need to learn how to resist the devil. And don't do that first. First thing you got to do is submit yourself to God. Consecrate, dedicate, surrender your own personal life to God. Then resist the devil. He didn't say up there, "Resist the devil, then submit yourself." No, submit yourself. And then, no, he said, "Submit yourself to God, then resist the devil." Then the devil comes along and you say, God's got it. He's got it all. But if there's one thing we haven't committed to God, the devil knows that. And he makes a claim that part that you haven't surrendered to God belongs to me. And he'll work on that. And he'll press that point. Folks, let's learn how to surrender and turn loose of everything that God wants out of our lives. And he'll give back whatever you need. But if you're holding back on anything, on light, understanding, and you're holding back, the devil knows how much is given over to God. And he has the right to trespass on that which has not been given to God. And he'll work on you and he'll break you down and he'll break down the very fiber of your spirituality. And the next thing you know, your light's gone. The candlestick. Folks, may God help us to be a supporter of light. How many candle holders was in that candlestick? Seven? It was seven, wasn't it? That means a complete, only one stem. It was a candlestick. God is a support there. Here we are, holding up the candles. The church in general, we have a job to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. One more text we like to bring up. Some thought here how dark it is when God's gone. The Word of God without the aid of the Holy Spirit. And to furnish the oil. It takes the Holy Spirit to furnish the oil for the lamp. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. What happens? Confusion prevails. We begin to get confused. And darkness and blindness, it blinds our understanding. "Well, I can't understand this. I know I've heard it all my life, but I can't understand it." Have you ever heard people saying that? I heard that all my life. I've heard it preached, but I just don't understand it. I can't comprehend it. There's something wrong there. It's a turning against light. It's a fact that they don't want to. Now, if you're willing, the will of man is the center of all of his directions. The Bible calls it the heart, but it's actually your will. The will If you have a strong will to please God, you can do anything that God wants you to do. If there first be a willing mind, your will is the center of all of your decision making. Remember that. If you're willing to please God. But the thing of it is, people are not willing to accept the truth as it goes forth. It means I have to deny myself. I have to deprive myself of something here. There's something here I got to turn loose of. There's something here that I'm so adapted to it or so addicted to it that I don't see how I can ever turn loose of it. Folks, you better turn loose of it here because you're not taking it with you. You need to sell out to God completely and turn loose of everything that's holding you back from serving God completely. But it takes the Word and the Holy Spirit. And once light has came out, has gone out, you enter into God's darkness. You want me to read how God's darkness is? Let's go over here to Exodus, the 10th chapter. I was reading that one time and I thought, Lord, help me. I never want to enter into God's darkness. He's light. But when He turns His light away from us and we allow that light to be diminished from our own personal lives, we enter into God's darkness. And folks, that's what's going to make hell is so bad is the fact that God isn't there. His love ain't there. There's no help there. There's nothing to turn to. Because He talks about total darkness. Cast Him into total darkness. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Total darkness. I don't know how many times He says total darkness. God's not there. The light's not there. In Exodus, the 10th chapter, and the 21st verse, we like to read here. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand towards heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Have you ever entered into a darkness that you can just feel it? This darkness was darkness that could be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand towards heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. So deep was the obscurity, and such was its nature. There was no artificial light here. At all. No artificial light can even prevail in this situation here. Nothing could prevail. Nothing could even go through it. It was so thick. And it's, I think, Clark mentioned here. And I like to read like Clark, what Clark has to say about this. He said, so deep was the obscurity, and probably such was his nature, that no artificial light could be prevailed upon. As a thick clamor, vaporous, would prevent lamps from burning, or if they could be ignited, the light would reach out no further distance from the burning body. This was God's darkness produced by His powerful judgment. God removed all available source of light and lavished it upon His people. And the world today is plagued with tremendous darkness. Is because he turned away from light and understanding. Oh, let me tell you something, folks. I don't know what you got out of this. But let me tell you. Keep your lights burning. Keep yourself yielded to the Spirit of God. As He deals with your heart, if you're not filled with the Spirit of God, you're not going to be able to comprehend the dealings
that God wants to deal with you on. You won't be able to conquer your own personal defects in your own personal life. You need the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Keep Him there. He's our illuminator. He's the one that illuminates our minds and our hearts. He's the one that guides us in all truth. He's the one that will comfort us in times of comfort. Remember, watch your attitudes in your trials, in your temptations. Watch your attitudes. In dealing with a problem, watch your attitudes. You can go to hell with the wrong attitude. Just having a wrong attitude. Giving vent to your feelings. Well, I just don't feel like doing this. I just don't feel like that I want to do this. Guard your feelings. Guard your mind. Guard all of your human propensities. Because let me tell you something. The enemy will take advantage of you if you'll let him. But whatever the trial is you're going through with, whatever the adversity you're going through with, or trial, don't let your light go out. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. He's coming someday. He's going to come splitting through the clouds. And who knows when that's going to be. And we need to keep our lamps burning. Keep oil in your lamp. Keep the Spirit of God in your vessel where He can keep burning out, keep burning out, and just align the blood of Jesus Christ to keep cleansing and keep cleansing. And let me tell you, just because we were saved so many years ago, folks, there's a lot of cleansing yet to be done. There's a lot of things about this humanity of ours that we need to keep emptying out, yielding to the Spirit of God. May God bless these thoughts, and you pray for me. I'll live what I preach. Amen.